report on public health ethical issues. We have two more talks to come, followed by general discussion, and the two talks will present the major findings of the two chapters that we haven't yet considered. The first of these will be Professor Christine Godfrey from the University of York, who will talk about the chapter on alcohol and tobacco. So over to you, Christine.
Thank you very much, John. We chose alcohol and tobacco for a number of reasons, and particularly wanted to sort of compare and contrast these two important public health areas. So I want to say a bit about the background and then go through the different issues and the conclusions we had in a very similar manner to the structure you heard on the break for obesity and for infectious diseases. Now, alcohol and tobacco are obviously both major public health problems. The WHO calculate that tobacco is the leading cause of death and disease in developed countries, and alcohol is the third leading cause of death and disease. So these are both major public health issues. They've also got another number of other features in common. They're both addictive, which means that individual choice is restricted in some ways, and they both meet the WHO conditions for addictive. They both obviously are legal substances and have industries involved, and we'll say a bit about how the Working Party considered the role of industry in this area. But they're also both harmful to others as well as themselves. So again, if we think about the ethical issues around these two public health issues and whereabouts in the intervention ladder we'd want to move up to, they both have a number of reasons why we might want to move up to that ladder. So just a bit of background information about smoking. Now, clearly we've seen that even though smoking is highly addictive, people can change their behaviour, and we've seen a massive change of behaviour over the last 40 to 50 years. And now a minority of adults smoke, so these are the figures in 2005, and obviously we would expect that the numbers of smoking may reduce with the advent of smoking bans across the UK. But this is a rather more shocking statistic, really, that actually if we look at children and they're part of the vulnerable group, that two-thirds of children are exposed to smoke in the home, and this is of real public health concern. What is clear is smoking is one of the biggest killers, and one of the, as we've known over a number of years, the biggest causes of premature deaths in the UK, and remains so even though smoking rates have come down. And our conclusion, looking at the intervention ladder and looking at particularly the harm to others, that as a working group, we felt that the smoking ban, while coercive, and up the intervention ladder, was welcomed by the working group. What about alcohol? And obviously alcohol is getting a lot more attention these days than it was a few years ago. Alcohol, again, is a major public health concern, particularly for the rate of disease it engenders, but also for the number of premature deaths, which, while not as large as tobacco, have been rising at an alarming rate. So they've doubled during this time period, as shown on the slide. The government themselves did some work on the number of people that may be drinking hazardously and who are dependent. And over 8 million people in England had an alcohol use disorder in 2004, and over a million of these were classed as dependent. This is a sizable number of people that have who are addicted to alcohol. But I think the thing that's interesting about alcohol, and that perhaps hasn't been given the same weight in debates, is the amount of harm that alcohol causes to others through a variety of different routes, through drink driving, through accidents, both out in the community, in the workplace, violence, etc. But if we compare and contrast the government's reaction to smoking and its problems and alcohol and its problems, it's been very contrasting. Whereas this government has taken a number of actions that are well up the intervention ladder for smoking, the reaction, the alcohol strategy, both its original form and its more recent publication this year, has had a much lower focus on the bottom rungs of the ladder, on providing information. So, what about the role of government in these two areas? So, as I said, the government's strategy on alcohol has focus on education campaigns, on giving information, and voluntary labelling. When you look at the evidence, as Roger was talking about earlier, if we look at what is effective interventions, effective policies, the book No Ordinary Commodity laid out what were the most effective policies for controlling population levels of alcohol-related harm, and came out with a very different set of proposals that were in the Alcohol Harm Reduction Strategy for England. So, in conclusion, the working group concluded that there is ethical justifications on a number of grounds for the government to introduce more stringent measures to tackle drinking. For example, increasing tax or looking at restricting hours or conditions of sale. Clearly, there has been a change in legislation in England, and there is the potential now for licenses to be opened, licensed premises to be open 24 hours. The evidence on the impact of this is mixed and rather sparse, and certainly the committee felt that this needed very careful analysis about what the results of this policy change had been. Another issue that we looked at, similar to obesity, was the whole issue of the burden of alcohol and smoking-related diseases on the NHS, and whether that had any implications about how smokers and drinkers should be treated. Now, for both smoking and alcohol, there are circumstances where interventions are more effective if people change their behaviour. And so we felt there were some justifications for advice to be given, but particularly support being given to individuals to change their behaviour in these circumstances, particularly in terms of alcohol consumption and liver transplants. But there shouldn't be victim blaming. This wasn't always, as we've talked about a range of behaviours, choice is not a simple individual aspect. We shouldn't be blaming victims for the choices they've made. There are a whole range of factors that influence people's behaviours, particularly in smoking and drinking. If we're appealing for people to change behaviour, it is important that resources are there to enable that help to be offered. And while there has been investment in smoking cessation services, that same investment has not been made for alcohol treatment services, although there is more now currently being looked at in this area. There is a role here within the workplace as well for employers to be looking at offering help and giving their employees the opportunity to take up treatment and help to change their behaviour as well. So again, when we think about industries, we should think of much widely about the role of industry in helping the public health of the nation, as well as particular industries that we focused on in this report. So what about the role of industry? As we said, it's very hard when we think particularly of tobacco to think about social responsibility policies, but it is quite clear that both tobacco and alcohol industries, and particularly the retailers of alcohol, we're hearing a lot in the news about the role of supermarkets these days, have claimed ethical, that they're pursuing ethical policies. To our mind as a committee, it seemed wrong that companies should say they're adopting ethical responsibilities in one jurisdiction where they may have legislative controls put upon them and not follow the same principles and policies in other parts of the world, particularly where there are vulnerable communities. And we've seen this behaviour in industries that often they're not following the same high standards across the world. So policies for the greatest consumers, this is our conclusion, that policies for the greatest consumer protection should be adopted worldwide. There shouldn't be different policies in different countries. Clearly, there is an issue here that we will never, unless we make the goods completely illegal, or change all behaviour. And so there is a role for harm reduction policies. One of the ideas is that there should be better products available for people who can't give up smoking. And the industry is beginning to promote snus, a smokeless tobacco, as one of these products. We considered this carefully, but came to the conclusion that allowing snus would not necessarily be helpful because it has harm associated with it, and clearly it may have particularly differential impacts with different groups of the community where chewing tobacco is already more prevalent, that this may actually stop some quitting behaviour. This doesn't mean to say that other industries, particularly the pharmaceutical industry, shouldn't be encouraged to produce better smoking cessation products. And this has not been an area where there's been a lot of activity in recent years. Another area is the whole role of protecting children. And it's quite clear that children do suffer disproportionately from smoking and alcohol-related behaviour of people around them. And this was found to be very concerning to the committee, as well as the role of adults' behaviour in actually encouraging children to take up these addictive behaviour patterns. But of course, we're into, again, if we look at our intervention ladder, moving on from banning smoking in public places, if we then move up the intervention ladder to say if 2/3 of children are affected by smoking in their own homes, should governments have a role in this area? We thought this may be moving beyond what would be ethically justifiable in actually intervening in the home. And it would obviously be also very difficult to enforce and make effective. But obviously there may be cases, and this is something that really needs very careful consideration, where children were at very high risks of harm and actually parents could not be persuaded by other means to change their behaviour. Clearly, there are difficulties in the ethical behaviour and challenging ethical behaviour of industries, as was outlined earlier. But it is quite clear that these industries should take a very social responsible position in how products are advertised, how they're distributed to children. And this is something, again, that needs very careful examination and possibly more enforcement if industries are not being shown to take this responsible line.